We are happy to be back in the house of the Lord, and I want to greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am very much enjoying my stay here, and I appreciate all the love and your goodness towards me. May the Almighty God bless you and increase you with all that will make us to be perfect and acceptable in His sight. God is good to us, and His love has always been unmeasurable, even as He keeps on revealing Himself and increasing us in the knowledge of who He is and the purpose of His calling. So I'm happy to be standing before, as we saw, before the call of God, the chosen and the predestinated, even according to His love, His foreknowledge, and His purpose. We are happy to be what we are by the grace of God. There's nothing that we have done to be what we are, but as we just want to share this evening about really who we are and what makes us what we are. We want to speak on a little thought that we'll get from the book of John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll read verse 31 and verse 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are here assembled, Father God, not of our own, but because we are admonished in Your word that we should not forsake our assembly. Yes. And Father God, even as You did, Lord Jesus Christ, when You were here on earth, we are told that You would go into the synagogue, into the temple, and speak to the people until the manifestation of the word and power of God was so great upon the people that they would see the purpose of Your coming. Yes. We want to thank You, Father. May You open Your word to us. May You bless us, Lord, that we may come to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be perfected and be made ready for that wonderful, great coming of our Lord. Amen. We commit this time, Father, into Your hands for Your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, we just want to speak from these two verses we have just read. I want to share with you on this little thought of the truth of truth. Here we see that Jesus Christ, He had pardoned that woman who was found in the wrong act, and He had spoken the word of God to these people who were Jews. And here we are told that these Jews or these people believed in him, which is the very fundamental step to take when we come to God, is to believe. So they had done just the right thing. They had believed in him because he had told them the word of God. He had also performed in their midst something that was beyond their imagination. So he tells these people, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. But they had believed in him, which was, if we can just look it at face value, was what was needed for them to be his disciples. Because they had believed in him. Many people had doubted him. Many people had turned away from him. But this particular group had believed in him. As we know from even Abraham, that he believed and it was imputed to him for righteousness. So these people, when we look at it, they had believed. And I think all of us here, we are here because we have believed. But here is something that the Lord Jesus says to these people who had believed. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So discipleship can be, but without the essence or the true purpose of being disciple. So here he shows them that there must be a continuation in the word. They had not heard the whole word. They had not heard everything that was needed for them to be disciples indeed. Now, I think this word, disciples indeed, meant that then there would be true disciples, real disciples, which shows us that discipleship can be without the truth of it, or without the purpose of being a disciple. And then he says to them, you shall know the truth. Now, from what he had done and said, I want to believe he was telling them, or he was preaching to them, the word of truth. But he says, you shall know the truth. But what had made them to come to believe, I want to believe it was the truth, which was the word of God, which was taught to them. But Jesus goes on to say, you shall know the truth. And by knowing the truth, that is not what is going to make them free. By knowing the truth is not what was going to make them acceptable or complete in the purpose of the calling. But here Jesus emphasizes, you shall know the truth, and then the truth shall make you free. It is not just a mere knowledge of the truth that would make them free, but it is the very truth that will make them free. And they shall know the truth in a manner that will make the truth make them free. So then it shows here, there's a way we may know, or one can know the truth. Because Jesus says, if you continue in my word, and we all know that Jesus said, my word is truth. So the word of God is truth. But there must be this, that one comes into the knowledge of that truth, and then the truth will be able to make one free. Like the Lord said to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Because there is that possibility that flesh and blood can reveal to one or to a person what I can say, the truth. A man can come to another man and tell him there is God in heaven. One man can tell the other, this Bible is true. That is not a lie. But it's something that a man is telling another man. A man can say, Jesus is the Christ. For we know, when Nathanael, or when Philip went to Nathanael, he told him, we have found him of whom Moses wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. And Philip was telling his brother what he had found, and then Nathanael disputed that, but Philip says, okay, come and see. When Nathanael came to Jesus, and Jesus told him, you are an Israelite in whom there's no God, then it dawned on Nathanael that this must be the Christ, because of what Jesus had said. But Jesus had said just a mere statement, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. So we can see that that knowledge or that understanding that Nathanael had of Jesus Christ was something that was derived from that sign which Jesus had made to him, that he had known where he was. So a statement can be said in its truthfulness. But when we look into this scripture, it's telling us that it is not knowing the truth, but it is the very truth that will make one free, that will deliver a person into the truthfulness of truth. That's why we just want to speak on this, the truth of truth. So, when one hears the word of truth, for us to know that one has heard the word of truth, that truth which he has heard must manifest itself in the hearer. Because it has never been God's desire that we do or we follow his commandments by mere obedience. It has never been like that. The Bible tells us that Abraham, by faith, he offered his son Isaac. Abel, by faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Yes, he did something that was right. He offered the true or the correct sacrifice. Abraham did something very good when God told him to go and sacrifice his son, and he went to do the same. But it was not just a mere obedience to a commandment that God had given. But it says it was by faith that he did that. So the act of Abraham was not actually an act of himself being subject to a commandment of God,
But it was the very evidence of what was dwelling in him, which was faith. And faith is not just a hoping. Faith is the substance. Faith is the evidence. It's something that is real. So, it was the faith which was in Abraham, which now was acting in Abraham to confirm that Abraham had heard the word of truth. It was not just acting on the word of truth. So, truth is not truth until it manifests itself in one who has heard that truth. Because many people can just do things or just follow because something good is happening around them. There were those people who went into the wilderness following Jesus, but the next day Jesus said to them, they had not seen the sign. It was 40 years in the wilderness where people were eating and feeding on a miracle every day for 40 years. They were eating something that was the very creation and the very power of God out there in the wilderness. They were eating bread. Out of the rock, water was coming for 40 years, but they could not see the purpose why God was doing that. It was only those, we come to the book of Numbers, when the Lord said, only Joshua and Caleb who have followed me fully, they are the ones who are going to enter in. But the rest of the people were following. The rest of the people were eating manna. The rest of the people were drinking the water. But as much as they were separated from all the world and following this great phenomenon which God was there performing in their midst, it was not all who were fully following what God was doing. So we can see, it is not just a matter of hearing the good and truth of God, and then we start following it, that makes us true disciples. But it is the manifestation of that truth in us. At one time, God told Ezekiel, he says, son of man, stand on your feet. If that would have been said to me, I can tell you, I heard the audible voice of God telling me to stand up, and I'll just jump up instead. Isn't that obeying God? The same Lord told us Ezekiel, son of man, shall these bones live? When he was in that valley full of bones, what was the answer of Ezekiel? It was, it is you, Lord, who knows. But God had asked him, he had given him the privilege of, and he knew he was a prophet. And he knew that if he can speak, it will happen. But he said to the Lord, it is you who knows. And it was only after he made that statement that God now said to him, now prophesy to those dry bones. Can you see? And again, when God said, stand up on your feet, is that going to jump up and stand up? He says, then the Spirit of the Lord made me, came into me, raised me, made me to stand. Can you see? God never said, now, Ezekiel, wait a minute. I'm going to bring my spirit into you to make you stand up. He actually said, you stand up. But he never jumped up to stand. But if he had done that, it was him who did it. But What we are going to look at this evening is that truth must manifest itself. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ say, I have come to bear witness to the truth? He did not come, you know, just maybe to tell people the truth. As much as he told them the truth, even here in chapter 8 of St. John, he says, you cannot hear my voice because you are of your father, the devil. He does not and he cannot dwell in truth because in him there is no truth. Can you see? So, it is not just an enactment of doing something that is good, but it is what is doing that good in us. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to manifest, he came to bring into being something that was already there. As much as we know that we were predestinated to be the children of God, and we are made children of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not just come and take chaff to make it children of God. He came to manifest that you were predestinated. He came to show forth who you are. And it is by that very coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that the reality which is in you, though enshrouded in sin, in dirt, in the mark of sin, but Jesus came to prove that you were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. He came to prove that your name was written in the book. Can you see? How did he do it? By coming to you, and then it was him who made alive. Like Paul says in the book of Ephesians, we were dead in our sins, but God raised us together with Christ. He did not just stand here and say, okay, you rise up. He raised us up with Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? He is the Word of God. He is the truth. And he came to confirm the truth that was already established in the eternal purpose and mind of God, that you are a child of God. And you cannot come to the realization, you cannot come to the manifestation of who you were until Jesus Christ himself, who is truth, can come to you and then bring to life that very truth that you were in the mind of God. Amen. That's why in the same book of John, I think we can read chapter 18. In chapter 18, verse 37, when Jesus was before Pilate, he says here, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He never came to do something that was outside the realities of God. He never came to you to make you something that you were not. He came to manifest the truth which was predestinated in you before the foundation of the world. So, you have not believed the truth, you are not of the truth, until there is a confirmation of the truth of God in you. Many a time, we can try to do something that is right. You are all witnesses of people who came to the Word, were baptized according to the Word, were fellowshipping according to the Word,
were even preaching the word, but today they are no more. They forsook that. Why? Because it was them, truthfully, sincerely, doing what the word of God said they should do. Doesn't Paul say, I can give all I have to the poor, I can have faith to move mountains, I can even give my body to be burnt, I can do all those things, but without love, I have nothing. Can you see? So it shows that you can do something that is of truth, you can do something that is of love, you can do something that is of God, yet there's not one pinch of God in that thing. So we are not here to do by our own endeavor, by our own power, what the word of God said we should do. Can you see? Even though we hear the word of God, that's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you shall come to that knowledge of the truth. That's why I want to believe when Abraham came out of the land of his nativity to come to the land where God was calling him, he did not have the full revelation or understanding of what God wanted him to do. But by his continuing in that word of God, he was able to get the enlightenment of the purpose and the desire of God. Brothers, sisters, that's what we need to do. It's not our rushing into trying to do what God says we should do, rush to do this, rush to do that, but rather that truth of God manifest in us. To the end that what we do, we will never complain later. The reason why we complain is, you know what, I did this to this brother, I did this to this sister, I did that, but you know, he did this again to me, he did that. It was because it was us who were doing it. Which is very possible that we can do things. But may this be our prayer, that the truth manifests itself in us. That has always been God's way of doing things. Amen. Right. In the same book of John, let's just go to the first chapter. In John chapter 1, verse 6 up to 9, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now here was John. He was sent, and he was not the light, but was a witness to the light. And through him, people then saw the true light. Can you see? So, light can never be witnessed by darkness. John was not the light, but he was a light. According to John chapter 5 verse 35, it says, you were happy to walk in his light. Jesus said those words. You were happy to walk in John's light. But John was not the light, but he was bearing witness to the light, so that that light which he was witnessing would then come and enlighten every man. Can you see? So, for us to know that the witness of John was true, is the true light came.
He was a witness, but he was not that light. But he was witnessing that there is coming a light. And he himself was also a light, but not the light. Now, to confirm that John was of the truth, that light came. And when that light came, it enlightened the lives of the people. So, the true vindication of the light is when the light is now shining itself and causing people to walk in light. Now they are walking in light, not because they heard John was preaching to them, a light is coming. But it has been proven that John's message was right. When the true light now came and enlightened the people. Like it was said, those who were dwelling in the shadow of darkness, a light came. Amen. Because the prophet had prophesied that Galilee of the Gentiles would see the light. So Jesus now, when he came, he was the manifestation and the confirmation that the prophets were right. Amen. You see that? So, the truth is only confirmed by truth. Amen. Now, for us to know that John's message was true, let's just read that. We are still there in the book of John. Let's just see it in verse 35 of John chapter 1. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, here, John is showing the people that is the Lamb of God. And two of his disciples, they follow him. Now, when they followed him, they did not continue to abide in the message that they had heard, that he is the Lamb of God. But they went on to see where he lived. They went on to see, to confirm what the scripture said about him. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by inviting them to come, that they came to have this faith that he was the true one who was to come. Because according to chapter 5, they had heard John speak about him. And the scripture truly said, John was a witness of the light. And now, because John was witnessing that something that is true, when people came into contact with what John was pointing to show that it was true, they also were enlightened to the purpose of God, why Jesus was sent. Not only that, but themselves also, like Jesus said, "I have come to witness to the truth." It showed that they too were of truth. Can you see? Because without being of truth, we will never be witnesses of the truth. And we can never perform the truth. It has to be truth. So truth is confirmed when it brings forth the purpose of its being manifested.
Amen.
When the gospel came to the Gentiles, we all know that, I think according to the book of Acts chapter 13, the scripture says, when the Jews could not accept Barnabas and Paul, Paul says, you know, it was worthy of you, it was right that the gospel should be preached to you, but you have judged yourself unworthy. Now we turn to the Gentiles. Now, it was not just because they could not get their campaign good among the Jews, so they say, okay, for a change, we'll just go to the Gentiles. It was not a matter of for a change, because then the scripture tells us that those who were ordained to eternal life then believed. John could quote the prophecy of Isaiah that we were made a light unto the Gentiles. Now, Isaiah was prophesying the truth because Paul went to those Gentiles. And it was of truth that those Gentiles were ordained to life because they believed the word. It was not all the Gentiles, but it was those who were ordained to life. Those were the confirmation that the prophet had spoken the true word of God. Prophecy now was true because it was manifesting in those who believed. Amen. Now, so we also see, maybe we can read it in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 14. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, why we heard the word of truth, which is the gospel? It is because we were predestinated in God. It was his will that you should come to the light of his word. And because of that, we, being predestinated according to the purpose of his will, of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, to the praise of his glory. Amen. When you heard this message, when you heard this truth, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise to confirm that you were, according to his will, brought into this light. Your coming into this light, your receiving the Holy Ghost, is the confirmation of the truth of God. Now we can see God is true, because he has already ordained you to life. He has already reserved for you an inheritance in heaven. Now, when you hear that truth and you come to him, the very spirit of truth will come and confirm in you that what you have heard is the truth. Can you see? As I said, they ate manna for 40 years in the wilderness. But that manna was sent so that men can come to the knowledge that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It was not those who ate the bread. It was those who could see the purpose of God giving them that bread. To confirm the mind and the purpose of God. The rest they ate and died. So we have come to God as a confirmation that God is God. Not by letter, not just by somebody saying there's a God in heaven, but you are the very manifestation. You are the very tangible evidence that God is in heaven. Because in you is confirmed the purpose of His will. In you is confirmed why Jesus Christ died on the cross. You are not just following, you know, just an order of things. You are the very manifestation. You are the realization of the truth of God. And when that realization of the truth of God now abides in you, you don't do anything for the purpose of doing it. You don't just do things so that it may be known that you can do things. You are doing everything and taking every step as a confirmation of the reality and the truth of God. Amen. That's why the Bible says even the angels, they look into it. I don't want to believe that angels can admire something that is just acted. Somebody just doing an action, somebody just doing what you know, what the word of God says, and then somebody just doing it, and then we can say the angels, you know, they know better than that, you know. But you are the manifestation of the truth of God. Amen. Amen. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 4 of the same book of St. John, He says, those who worship God, worship Him in truth. Why do they worship God in truth? Because God is truth. Can you see? And those who worship Him must worship Him in the very essence of who He is. He is spirit. Can you see? And you can do something that is very truthful, but not in the spirit. As we have seen that Paul said, I can do this and do that and do that, but all these things can be done without love. And love is God. So we can actually do the things of God without God. We can actually do everything precisely correct, but it being not God. Doesn't the Lord say they'll come in that day and say, Lord, we cast out evil spirits, we heal the sick in your name. So it's possible that you can do these things in the name of the Lord. But then the Lord will say, but I don't know it. I was not in it. What you were doing was not a confirmation of my being present in that your campaign. It was you who did it. Now, because it's you who did it, now you go to where you did it. Go to your own works. Can you see? Everything that has not its origin in God cannot be accepted by God just because it is good. Because truth is the manifestation of truth. It's not just an enactment of truth. It's not just something that is correct. Can you see? Now, you know, when the young ones go to school, let's start from the kindergarten. It says 1 + 1 = 2. When the teacher asks them, 1 + 1? And then this guy will just look, peep over into the other guy's book and see, he's written 1 plus 1 is 2. And then he looks in his book, 1 plus 1, he writes 2. When he gives to the teacher, what does the teacher do? Mark it right. But does he know that 1 plus 1 is 2? He has written the correct answer. But the purpose of writing 1 plus 1 is 2 is for that knowledge to be imparted upon the child. Can you see? So that down the line, he can be an engineer and make an aeroplane fly. Can you see? By the being imparted with the reality, the realization of this mathematics, which will go into geometry, whatever, until it comes into flying the plane. But writing correct answers will never make one able to make the plane fly. But the answers are correct. Can you see? So our coming to God is not just to look into the Bible and see, okay, what the Bible says here, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then I rush in there, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to church. Then I rush, I go to church. We can do all those things. But until it is the truth that is confirming in me that this word is truth, it's all done in vain. Can you see? God has never desired that. Amen. Because when we go, you know, to the creation, it says in Genesis chapter 1. Let's just read that. We just want to share that. In Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1. We'll read verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. What was good about all this? God was not just interested in seeing trees growing. That's why when Jesus Christ was here on earth, one day he saw a fig tree, which was just nice, good leaves and everything. But there was no fruit in there, and he cursed that tree. What did God want? He says, let trees come up. So when the trees came up, that was what God had said. But God was not interested in just seeing the tree coming up. He wanted to see the continuation of the life that was in the seed that he planted in the earth. That tree had to come up. Can you see? And to confirm that it was the word of God, that tree had to bring forth fruits. And in those fruits were seeds. And if you take those seeds and plant them back into the earth, they'll bring into being that which was in the origin. To show that this is true. The continuation of the word of God. That shows, you know, with us that when God calls us, we don't go halfway. We don't just do some of the things. We are a complete manifestation of the purpose of God as he has called us to his word. So, the truth, the truthfulness of a truth is in the truth thereof. The manifestation or the production of truth by the power of truth is what is truth. Can you see? Because the tree may look like it's an orange tree, but maybe it's not. The leaves are like an orange tree.
the flowers like that of an orange tree. But let the fruit, let the complete circle of life come. Can you see? And even if when you look at this seed, don't be satisfied until you take the seed again and plant it and it will bring forth the same thing. There must be a continuation. Can you see? That fruit which comes from that original seed will not develop itself into something that is not what was in the beginning. It is not just trying to please the farmer. Okay, the farmer planted an orange here, but now for him to be pleased, then the fruit will say, no, I'll no longer just be an orange. Maybe I can grow big and be a grapefruit, you know. That is not the essence. That is not the purpose why the seed was planted. God has called you to manifest, to do that which was ordained of God and desired of God to be in you. Amen. That's why out of our enthusiasm, out of our own ego, we can do things that are not ordained of God for us to do. Amen. Good they may be. Can you see? Well, that is something, you know, maybe a bit tough, huh? So shall I not do the good that I'm supposed to do? I don't say that. But subject yourself, humble yourself, until God can do His will in your life. Whatever is motivated, whatever is driven, whatever is planted, whatever is done by God, doesn't the scripture say, every tree that I did not plant, I'll pluck it up. It didn't mean it did not come up. It came up. It's growing. But because it was not planted of the Lord, to the end that it produces the purpose, it will be plucked up. Amen. So there must be that, again, that environmental impact of what has been planted. It must be in the book of Isaiah, where it says, my beloved planted a vineyard. He found himself a good mountain place. And then he removed the rocks, isn't it? Removed the rocks, built a hedge around it, and planted good seed. But when the grapes came up, they produced wild grapes. That must have been some environmental effect upon those vines. And they could not bring what was supposed to be brought. Even if you plant a good tree and then you let the bugs come and suck at the fruits, they'll be spoiled, isn't it? Because the environment is not conducive to the continuation. That's why Jesus says, you must continue. Can you see? If you plant a good seed, you must continue nurturing that good seed by giving it the right fertilizer, giving it the right water, and protecting it from an antagonistic environment. So that there is a continuity of the good purpose, the good intention, and the good planting that was done. You cannot do something good and then forsake it and expect it to bring forth good results. Can you see that? You have accepted the word of God. Continue in the same by praying to God, by committing your life to God, that like Paul says, he who began a good work in you shall accomplish it. How does he do it? By your continuity in that channel and thought of his calling. Can you see? So that the truth of God can be confirmed in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So, the grace of God has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, that we be the manifestation. May it be in our hearts that we desire God's word to abide in our lives, God's anointing to be upon us, that we continue to be in that presence, that not us, but that the truth of God can be manifested in us. Can you see that? Maybe we read just two scriptures and then we close. Let's just go to John chapter 1. The gospel according to John chapter 1. We just want to read something there and then we come to close. Chapter 1, let's read verse 15 on to 18. John chapter 1 verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him." So, Jesus Christ is the truth of God, because God himself is true. Can you see? God himself is truth. Then Jesus Christ, he says, "I did not come on my own, but it is the Father who sent me." Can you see? When the Father sent Jesus, it was not in the Son just to try to do what the Father's will is. But Jesus Christ himself says, "The Father who sent me is in me. And the works that I do are not mine, but it is the Father who is working in me." So Jesus Christ was the confirmation that God is truth. Not by an enactment of him trying to do this and do that, which is of God. But the very God himself was in Christ. So the Bible says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. You see, he never just sent the Son and said to him, "Well, when you get there, do this, do that, do that, do that, do that." He was in the Son. And for us to know that God is true, his truth is confirmed and vindicated in the Son. Because the truth of God is he desired you to be saved. He desired you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He desired you to be a child of him. And then he sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the way whereby the thoughts and the intents of God were to be channeled to you. Amen. Now, when you are now there standing in that holiness of God, it shows now that God is true. And it shows that you are of the truth. Can you see? It's a confirmation now. Not just an enactment. Not just something that we are trying to do and just make ends meet. But we are the very manifestation. We are the very essence of God. We are the very redemption of God. For the scripture says Jesus Christ himself was made to us wisdom, sanctification, redemption. Can you see? He did not just come to redeem us. He became our redemption. Can you see? He became our sanctification. He became our wisdom. So that shows we are of the truth. Because what we are doing is not just trying to enact something that God is pointing us to do. But we are so submitted to God that God can confirm his word through us and in us. He's showing forth.
his long suffering, his patience, his grace, his truthfulness is being manifested through you. And you are so submissive to that perfect will of God that you don't want your will to be done, but the will of the Father. Amen. So, who is Jesus Christ? He says, God is invisible and nobody has seen God. But the Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared God to us. Amen. He has confirmed that there is a reality of the existence of God. Amen. And then, by that reality, he has come to reveal to us not just that there's a God in heaven, but the very purpose of God, the very desire of God, he has come to reveal it to us by what? By grace. Amen. So that grace is manifested in us. And when we come back to God, enshrined, embodied, overshadowed by that grace, Amen. Till even our actions are a manifestation of the grace of God, then we have the truth that God is true. And then we know we have not followed fables, Amen. But we have received the reality of the Word of God. Amen. Blessed be the name of God. Amen. So, who are we now? The truth of truth is manifested in that end result. For God to be true, it's just not for us to say, okay, here the Bible says God is true here, God is true here. But we are the very realization of the truthfulness of God. We are the very realization of the long suffering of God. We bear in us the life of God. That's why God gave us His Spirit. Okay, I'll read the last scripture. That is in the book, first book of John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this is life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. Amen. What did God give us? He has not given us fruits. As much as fruits are good, God did not give us fruits, but He gave us the fruit bearer, so that we can bear fruits, because we have been given the power. Is that right? For those, He came to His own, but His own received Him not. But those who received Him, gave He power to become the children of God. Can you see? He did not just give us, He did not just make us children. He gave us the power. He gave us the ability. He gave us that which can make us be fruitful. Can you see? Now, so when we bear the fruits now, we are the vindication that we have come from God. Because He is the one who gave us not fruits, but that which bears fruit. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Christ in us is that hope now of glory. Can you see? We are now the confirmation of the truth. We are now the realization that God is true. We are now the continuation of that undying purpose of God to His called and chosen. Amen. That's why Jesus says, I came to confirm in you that you are a child of God. Amen. It is not you doing this, doing that, that makes you a child of God.
But it is the spirit of the Son. It is that spirit of sonship. When the spirit of the Son comes into you, for it to be the true spirit of the Son, it will cry out in you, Abba, Father. Can you see that? It will pronounce, it will go back, it will desire to go to its origin, which is God Himself. That's why the scripture says, after everything has been done, God is going to bring all things in heaven and on earth in the Son, Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, after we are brought to Christ, then Christ will submit Himself under the eternal Spirit of the Father. And then God will be all in all. A confirmation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. A confirmation that you did not come by mere fanaticism. You came by the vindication and manifestation of the truthfulness of God by His Word through the Son, Jesus Christ. And then you cry out in yourselves, Abba, Father. Amen. Amen. And that crying of Abba, Father is a cry of belonging. It's a cry that wants, that brings you, amen, to your origin. Can you see that? We were all in our father. We were all in our mother. When we are born, we don't cut ourselves, but we still cry out to them. Is that right? Confirming, vindicating that we came from them. Now, because I can walk, it doesn't mean I don't care about that. Now that I can feed myself, I can dress myself, doesn't mean that I cut myself away from there. There's that spirit of belonging. There's that spirit of coming out of them that I still hold dear in my life. We came from God and we are going back to God. It is that life, unbroken line of the confirmation of the truthfulness of God that keeps us going. Things can be tough. Things can be against us. Things can be rough. But there's something that binds us to God. It is the truthfulness of God. It's a vindication of who He is in our life. And for God to be true, you are the manifestation. You are the realization. You are the very purpose of God. Amen. After everything is done, the Bible tells us that we'll go back to God Himself. We'll be in Christ, and Christ under the eternal Spirit, and then God will be all in all. Because we are the confirmation. We are the realization that God is true. And everything that did not come from God will have to be destroyed. There is no continuity of anything that did not come from God. Be it a religious act, be it a great mighty thing, as long as it is not of God, it has no continuity in itself. Because it did not come from God. And the scripture says of Daniel, there was the head of gold, the chest of silver, the belly of bronze, the legs of iron, and the feet of clay. All those, in all their glory, they will be washed away. But the stone that came out of the mountain without hands, it is going to grow and grow and grow and fill all the earth. In it, there is no end. So all the glorious things, all the things that we can see in their goodliness, they have no continuity as long as they don't have their origin in God. But we are the truth of God. And that truth abides forever. And we are thankful to Him who has called us by His truth. We were not called That's why Jesus says, you've seen something that has motivated your heart. You've seen something that has made you glad. You've seen something that has made you to come to me. But I want to tell you, you must abide in this word. If you abide in this word, you shall know the reality of truth. And that truth will set you free. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. In the explanation or in the essence, in the power of the truth of God. Can you see? When God wants you to be free, He wants you to be truthfully free. That's why He has given you the truth to be your redemption. Not something that is out of fanaticism, something that is out of enthusiasm, something that is out of just happiness. It is something that is coming from Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God bless you as you pursue this truth. Whatever comes or whatever goes, let's be humble and stay in this truth. And this truth will set us free. This truth will make us grow. This truth will bear fruit in us. This truth will make our actions true. Our faith true. Our commitment true. Our everything will be true because it is coming from truth and received by a truthful heart for a truthful purpose. May God bless you.